This is the Jewish News Podcast in association with Genesis Philanthropy Group, supporting Jewish communities worldwide. I'm Michael Daventry, and coming up on this programme, Britain's Chief Rabbi Ephraim Mervis speaks to Jewish News in an exclusive interview to discuss his plans to relaunch a programme to help young British Jews engage with the wider world. Joining this edition of the Jewish News Podcast is my Jewish News colleague, Jenny Fraser. Jenny, for those who aren't intimately connected to the politics of the British Jewish community, let's talk briefly about what kind of a figure the Chief Rabbi is. There might be some progressive Jews or strictly Orthodox Jews who would say that he doesn't lead them spiritually, but few would dispute that he's one of the most significant figures in British Jewry today. That's fair to say, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think that anybody who is the Chief Rabbi has a multiplicity of identities, if you like. This is a person who has to represent the central Orthodox pillar of the Jewish community, not just of the UK, but of the Commonwealth. But in that capacity, he also has to be a Jewish community leader and a politician and somebody who I think the majority of the community would rally around and hope that he would be speaking for them on major issues of interest.
I'm interested in one of the Chief Rabbi's more prominent programmes of recent years, the Ben Azai programme, which took young British Jews out of their home environment and into a developing country. And I know you had the good fortune to accompany a cohort on a visit to Ghana a few years ago. That must have been fascinating.
That's correct. I did go to Ghana with, I think it was the third group that they had sent out. It was an amazing adventure. First of all, the students themselves were of such high caliber and so interesting even before they joined the program. I think none of us was prepared for the levels of poverty that we saw, but it certainly inspired the students to come back with the aim of the central message of Ben Azai making a difference. And it was certainly a wonderful trip, but it was short.
Mm. And of course, COVID has gotten in the way of it.
That's true. And that, in fact, is what has led the Chief Rabbi and his staff to think about relaunching the Ben Azai program so that it has a different take to it. It won't just be a short visit to a third world country. It will be a year-long program of different aspects of social responsibility.
So let's get to the recording of your interview with the Chief Rabbi. What did you begin by asking him?
Well, I asked him right from the start why he had decided to relaunch the program, and he told me about how COVID had interrupted things.
So it's all due to COVID, right? We didn't sit down one day and say, this needs rejigging. COVID came along. We had our next cohort planned for a third world country, which would have taken place in 2020. Regrettably, that was simply just impossible. So too, any prospects of such a trip in 2021. And therefore, we needed to sit down and think, okay, what is the future of Ben Azai going to be? And actually what has developed has turned out to be a natural evolution of the whole Ben Azai process. And in many ways, it makes so much sense that what we're now going to do is the natural continuation of what we had started. In many respects, we will be continuing with what we were doing before, plus an entirely new way of operating Ben Azai. So the significant changes are, instead of the type of trip you went on, which is a relatively short and intensive trip with follow-ups over a period of time, this in the first instance will be a year-long program.
Oh, wow.
And within the year, there'll be many components. We hope to include an overseas trip, and that will depend on COVID. Visits around the UK to places of significance relating to the four key areas of what Ben Azai now will incorporate, and they are global public health, international development, the refugee crisis, and climate change. Why these four? Well, we're interested in producing future leaders of our community for whom global social responsibility will be a key element of their leadership, their awareness, and these four areas are the key areas in terms of their urgency and their interconnectedness. And each one, I mean, we can go through each one in its own right, but certainly by dwelling on these four areas, this will open opportunities for our participants. We are hoping to include 20 participants this time, which is a higher number than before. And we are certain that there will be a lot of competition from wonderful students who will apply.
And is the pool from which you're selecting the participants the same idea, the best of the best, the creme de la creme of the student intake?
Well, you said it, yes. Those who we believe have the potential to be the best of the best, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's right, because leadership is a key element of Ben Azai. It's not just caring and compassion. It's utilizing the experiences that we'll provide the participants with to be channeled into the future leadership that they will provide. And one of the most gratifying elements of Ben Azai is that already now we are seeing fruits of our labors in the most wonderful way. Graduates of Ben Azai who already have taken on some of their professional roles, some vocational roles, some leadership roles within our community and beyond. And for them, their Ben Azai experience was a key element of what inspired them.
How many Ben Azai trips did you do before COVID hit? Two or three?
There were four altogether.
Four. Yeah.
Oh. Yes. So that means that already we have over 60 graduates whom I call my ambassadors for social responsibility. Mm-hmm. And as has always been the case, it is so very important to have this initiative organized and run by the Chief Rabbi and my office, thanks to the very outstanding professional support and generosity of Tzedek and the Peirce Foundation. Mm-hmm. It's important you mention that.
Yeah.
Actually, I know people on the podcast have just heard that. So they can laugh along with us now as well. So it's really important that this is not just a Jewish community initiative. We see global social responsibility as being a religious imperative, inspired by the teachings of Ben Azai, who close to 2,000 years ago taught that the most important verse in the whole Torah is Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, teaching us that every human being is created in the image of God. And therefore, we have a responsibility to care about everyone on earth. And the fact that you have an accompanying rabbi, and often Rebbetzin as well, together with the group, providing Torah content and resources for everything that the participants are seeing and are learning about. That's what makes this into a very special program. And we've scoured what's happening out there around the world, and we haven't found a similar Orthodox-based and run program in global social responsibility.
Mm. Now, I think that it's, first of all, I think it's a wonderful initiative. But also, I wonder if I can run by you. You know that there's a great deal of anxiety, both in this community, but also in huge diaspora communities, such as your own former community, South Africa, Australia, and obviously America, how to engage young people and keep them involved for the future. So maybe can you say a little, unpick that, and say a little about what you think going on the Ben Azai program would do to help that situation?
So you are very perceptive there because you've identified a key area of interest of young people today. What we are discovering is that this entire issue of global social responsibility is something, I mean, I'm going to generalize now, it's something that young people identify with very readily. So when I speak in high schools and on university campuses about our global social responsibility and more recently about climate change issues, I'm speaking to the converted. You know, they're absolutely with me. And so many people readily acknowledge that they find it so refreshing and reassuring to recognize that what they believe to be amongst the key issues of our time are considered by our Torah to be some of the key issues of our faith. And our Torah directs us in an inspirational way with regard to these matters. And that's why we've got the source material accompanying everything that, that people see and do and learn about, because it's motivated by and directed by our Torah outlook. So this entire initiative resonates very deeply with young people today, hardly without exception. And it's just wonderful that the Torah, as always, is found to relate in such an outstanding manner to the issues of our time.
So how does the program break down into the four components? Mark mentioned briefly to me last week that it's hoped to get specialist lecturers or mentors to talk to the participants about each area that is studied in the course. How is that going to work?
So first of all, I am intending to be personally involved in the entire year's program, making myself available for whatever component I'm able to at the time, going to places with the group. So for example, when we have a Shabbaton, spend a Shabbat together to enrich our knowledge and our awareness of certain issues. My wife and I will be very much part of that Shabbaton experience, together with lectures and other activities. As you have mentioned, we will have some outstanding global speakers, and it's another welcome lesson. Tragic COVID experience, and that is the accessibility of global speakers just at the press of a button. So, for example, David Miliband gave a wonderful presentation to our Ben Azai alumni during the past year, and that was really tremendous. It was highly inspirational, together with other key global figures. So they will be made available for this course. We'll be visiting a number of sites in the UK. No effort will be spared in bringing the participant to places of interest and exposing them to the experts in these fields.
So is there a pre-planned framework for the program, or does some of the initiative come from the participants themselves? If they say to you, for example, I think we last met, last June when we were at Sadeh. So if the students were to say, for example, can we spend a Shabbat at Sadeh? Is that the kind of, does the program have that kind of flexibility built into it?
Any successful educational initiative will incorporate the active participation of those who are part of it. Mm-hmm. You cannot deliver something top-down and just expect the participants to follow your directive. It's there for their sake, so therefore we have to be reactive to the feedback we are getting. Obviously, when you are planning an entire year and you want it to be of the highest possible quality, you will want to have everything in place in the first instance. But there will be room for flexibility. And that's one of the beauties of having a year-long program. If you had 10 days in Ghana or in Calcutta, well, you can't in the middle of it suddenly respond to a request, well, how about going somewhere or doing something, etc. But once you've got the entire year, absolutely we will have that latitude.
Mm-hmm. So when do we start? When do you start recruiting, and when does the year run from?
So we have just launched it, and that's why I'm speaking to you right now. So you'll see on social media there's a brilliant brief video and various advertisements, and we're getting the word around. And by the way, I'm planning next month. I've been planning this for nearly 2 years, and at long last I'm going to do it. It's going to be a whistle-stop campus tour, and over 3 days to go to as many university campuses as possible. So we're planning this for March, and I'm pretty certain that this will be one of my key messages. It's the NRZI program, but also what it stands for, because obviously not everyone in our audiences will have the good fortune of participating. So we're going to get the word around there. Felicity, the applications need to be in by beginning of April.
Yeah, the 4th of April.
By the 4th of April. Uh-huh. And then we're actually intending to commence around about the end of July to take advantage of the time just before the summer break, so that there'll be a wonderful commencement, and then to follow through over the year that will follow.
And to be clear, you aren't imposing members of an Orthodox denomination on the program participants. They can come from right across the religious spectrum.
Well Jenny, you were there,
yes,
on one of our trips.
Yes, yes.
And you would have seen, because this is the case with all our trips, we accept all students. All students should know that this is a religiously run endeavor. So when it comes to tefillah, you know...
It will be done on Orthodox lines, obviously.
It will be done, obviously, on Orthodox lines, but if somebody prefers not to pitch up, that's their prerogative.
Right. Okay, but people can apply from right across the community.
Absolutely.
Fine. Let's talk about refugees.
Okay.
And how that's going to manifest itself within the program.
So... what we are finding today is refugees is one of the greatest crises of our time, as it has been over many years in many respects. David Miliband has referred to the refugee crisis as being global system failure. And he has referred to it in such terms because right around the world, we just haven't come to grips with the issue. How do you prevent it from happening in the first place? And once there are refugees, how do you deal with them? There are political issues, there are humanitarian issues. We, for sad reasons, have tasted what it is like to be a refugee. The trauma of being homeless, and the enormity of the mitzvah of helping those who are in such a plight. And I'm proud of the extent to which our UK Jewish community has been helping refugees. And World Jewish Relief is an outstanding example of a Jewish charity which has been at the forefront of the care that we give. And one of the most memorable experiences I've had as Chief Rabbi was my visit to Edumeni on the border of between Greece and North Macedonia, where I saw in action how funds raised from our community were saving the lives of thousands of refugees there. So because this is such a complex area, we want our participants to be immersed in the issues and the challenges so that they can grapple with the matter and come up with some formulated responses as to how we responsibly can react to the plight of refugees. And all of this will be on the basis of Jewish teachings and experience.
I suppose that's one of the things I should have asked you at the beginning.
Yeah.
What is expected of the participants when they finish the course? What are you looking for from them?
That's a great question. Okay. So in a formal manner, nothing. However, we would love them to take on all their experiences and their knowledge and translate it into action. We would love that to be meaningful action. For some, it could be, as I mentioned before, perhaps a profession in the area of social responsibility. For some, it could be a vocation. For some, it could be as volunteers. For others, it could be giving lectures, writing articles, enabling these issues to be a key element of their leadership within our community and beyond. So it really depends on the individual concerned. So I'll give you an example. Some of our Benazai trips went to India, and we were able to see the work of Jacob Stockman, who created the Gabriel Project Mumbai in the slums. And some of our alumni returned saying, I want to be the next Jacob Stockman, right? To emulate what I have seen. That would be incredible, but that's not, you know, we're not putting pressure on people that's going to be the result, because if it would, whatever they want to do, in whatever capacity, we would like what they have learnt and experienced to permeate through and to inform their decisions, their teaching, and their leadership. As I start out by saying, nothing formal. Nobody should feel intimidated, but certainly we would love people to be inspired to be doing a huge amount.
Okay, so I interrupted the flow because I was asking you to break down briefly.
Yeah, the four. So in the briefest of terms, so the global health crisis, the pandemic has underlined for us how interconnected everybody on Earth is, and also how it's a postal lottery, depending on which country you're living in. Right now it's a question of whether you're going to get a vaccine or not, and whether you're going to live or die as a result of COVID. But certainly we need to invest more seriously in looking after the health of all people right across the globe, and we have a responsibility in that regard. And by the way, with regard to the vaccination program, I'm very proud of the fact that I have proactively supported the VaccinAid initiative, through which literally many thousands of lives are being saved, thanks to the help that is being given from the UK to people in third world countries who otherwise wouldn't have a vaccination. And what's very encouraging is that literally only this week we have learned that the United States is going to be mirroring the initiatives here in the UK, and they are going to be starting a similar campaign there, which will be on a far greater scale, and therefore the amount of lives saved through the domino effect of actions here is going to be absolutely immense. Then international development, which is a second component, is really what you saw in action on your trip, which is understanding sustainable growth, what we are doing to combat poverty. Why is it that there is actually globally enough food to go around, but it's only reaching certain mouths? You know, a little Tartara. In our benching, we say, Hazanitakol, God feeds everybody. It's the opening bracha of our benching. Hazanitakol, Kolobtavol, God feeds the whole world. Is that true? The answer is yes. God does feed everybody. He provides sufficient food for everybody. The problem is that we don't allocate it wisely. And as a result, there are food mountains in some countries, and in other parts of the world, there is absolute poverty. So we have a responsibility in looking after the allocation. Then you have climate change, which is a given today, and I've invested so much of my own time and efforts by attending COP26 through the initiative called Dorot within the United Synagogue. Dorot meaning generations, bearing in mind our responsibility for all generations to come, and through explaining how tackling climate change is a religious responsibility, because that what God wants of us in the world that he has given to us, and he calls upon us to show achrayut, responsibility in how we look after the earth and its resources. And there is a genuine crisis now, and we need to be part of that solution. And I'm proud of the initiatives such as Eco Synagogue, which has been encouraging synagogues throughout the UK to be far more responsible when it comes to tackling climate change. And then the United Synagogue Dorot initiative has been absolutely spectacular so far. Then we have the refugee crisis, which we've been referring to before.
So I wonder, Chief Rabbi, if you could say something about how you would like the Ben Azai program to reinforce people's Jewish identity. I think with a lot of students today, you obviously are more aware than everybody that students have a very hard time on campus. They're made to feel victims in so many different situations. I think probably the different components and factors that you've outlined in the Ben Azai program, this is a way to offer students a different take on their Jewish identity, different pride, without feeling got at all the time. Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, I wouldn't focus too much on this being a positive response within a context of negativity. This is something of value in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of our recognition of the fact that our responsibility to our fellow human beings is an integral part of our relationship with God. And to be from, to be religious, incorporates compassion and responsibility towards our fellow human beings. I would also like to highlight the importance of striking the right balance. The Ben Azai program is not the only program that I've initiated and that I've involved in. It certainly is significant because we started it and it wasn't there before. But it is in addition to our responsibility to charity and to welfare within our local communities, to serving the needs of our Jewish community here in the UK, our responsibility to the State of Israel and its needs. And in addition to that, we have a responsibility to needy people around the world. And it's not a case of one as opposed to the other. It's we have all of these responsibilities and we need to get the right balance. And by the way, part of the studies included within the Ben Azai program are an investigation into this question of balance. And often it would be left up to the individuals concerned, where they draw the line and how their personal balance will be. But certainly we have all of these responsibilities. And what I'm highlighting is that in addition to our charitable responsibility to our fellow Jews and to the State of Israel, we also have a responsibility to every soul. And that is a thoroughly Jewish, Torah-driven and inspired outlook. One that our young students of today can be, and I know are, exceptionally proud of.
Finally, Jenny, the Chief Rabbi has been a strong advocate of interfaith relations, and one of his partners here, one of his closest partners here, has been the Archbishop of Canterbury. I gather the Chief Rabbi had some things to say about a recent article that caused a little bit of controversy, written by the Archbishop, or at least co-written by the Archbishop, about Christians in the Middle East.
That's correct. This was an article that appeared a couple of days before Christmas last year, co-written by Archbishop Justin Welby with the Anglican Archbishop of Jerusalem, Hossam Naum. And it was to look at what's been happening with diminishing numbers of Christians in the Middle East. And the blame was put in that article on Jewish settlers and Israel's security barrier for the falling number of Christians in the area. The chief rabbi was quite concerned at this article and I understand has made private representations to the archbishop, who held a meeting with the board of deputies leaders this week and the archbishop in Jerusalem to discuss some of the issues. But in the meantime, the chief rabbi wanted to express his support for Justin Welby as a very strong supporter and backer of the Jewish community and battler against anti-Semitism. Not everybody will agree with each other all the time, but they have a strong relationship, so they can talk to each other privately and openly about the issues that concern them.
On the front page of this week's Jewish News, there's a story about his public statement about Archbishop Justin Welby. It's a public statement of support, really, for him, isn't it?
It certainly is. And it's. I think it's to try to stave off at the pass, if you like, people who are being very hypercritical of Archbishop Welby and wanting to point out the sincere expressions of friendship that he's made on many occasions to the Jewish community and such a help in leading Christians in the battle against anti-Semitism.
Well, Jenny, thank you very much for taking us through your interview with Chief Rabbi Ephraim Mervis. And that's it for this edition of the Jewish News Podcast in association with Genesis Philanthropy Group. Through its partners, GPG is working to support the growth of Jewish community life in the UK and worldwide. To find out more, visit gpg.org. All that's left for me to do is to thank Chief Rabbi Ephraim Mervis, my colleagues Jenny Fraser, Neo Mandel and Adam Bradley for their work producing this episode, and to you for listening. Please do subscribe to the show in your podcast application. That way, you'll hear any previous episode or be informed when new episodes become available. Don't forget that for more information on any of the stories we've featured, you can always go to jewishnews.co.uk, and if you'd like to comment, then we'd love to hear from you on editorial@jewishnews.co.uk. But from me, Michael Daventry, do join us next time here on the Jewish News Podcast, and goodbye.